Well, this morning we have a guest joining us here in the studios. He's tall. He's been playing basketball for Creighton. Ryan Hawkins joins us this morning. How are you?
Good, Jim. How are you?
Well, good. I wish I was still watching you play basketball at Creighton, but doggone it, you had a good run.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Really proud of everything that we were able to do. We were a very young team that kind of got written off as this was going to be a rebuilding year, and we made it around to 32, and we're 2-3 possessions away from still playing in Chicago this weekend, but unfortunately, we only had 6 healthy bodies going into KU, and we gave them everything they wanted, took a blue blood down to the wire, so it was a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah, you've had a lot to happen to you since the last time we visited, which I believe was over Christmas break. You had a little time to visit with us here, and boy, things have really stretched out. I mean, the second half of the season was so much different, I think, than the first half of the season, with the intensity of playing Big East basketball and in some legendary places against some legendary programs, getting a chance to play and make a great run in the Big East tournament. Playing at Madison Square Garden, the most famous arena in the world, and then getting to play a couple of ball games in the NCAA tournament. Would you say you got out of this senior year pretty much or pretty close to what you wanted to?
Yeah. The experience was everything I could have dreamed for. Like you said, playing in Madison Square Garden on a Friday and a Saturday night, Big East tournament, 19,000 people in there. It's tough to beat that experience. You know, getting to go play against Patrick Ewing at Georgetown, just stuff like that you can't get that back. That's all memories I'll have for the rest of my life. And we did it while having a lot of success, too. Looking at the group that we had in June and July, if you told me that we'd make it to the Big East Tournament Championship game, I would have laughed at you and said, you're crazy. If you told me we'd make it to the round of 32 in the NCAA tournament and almost beat KU, would have said, you're crazy. But that's all stuff that we did and we were able to accomplish. And like you said, the second half of the season was completely different than the first half. And a lot of that was through hard work and continued work that we'd been putting in the first half.
Well, of course, you had a great run at Northwest Missouri State, too, that was a big part of your life. And being National Player of the Year last year and most of most outstanding player in the finals there too in the tournament, you know, you had a nice resume coming in. Are you surprised though that with all of the love that you've gotten this year in all the different corners? I don't know if you've watched any of the broadcasts that from the games that you played, but my goodness, the announcers were always talking so much and so glowingly about your accomplishments and how you approach the game and how you handle your teammates in tough situations and things. Are you surprised the way you were? That you were portrayed that way, that you were grabbed on that way by these folks?
Yes and no. It's hard to explain the differences between D1 and D2, but I would just sum it up and say the personalities are the biggest difference, and I kind of took pride in not having that personality and that attitude and that a lot of the players have at our level. And so I think that was kind of the biggest difference was I didn't approach it the same way they did. I approached it with a lot of humility and a lot of love for the game, not what can the game do for me. And I think that was kind of the biggest difference. And I kind of tried to show our younger group what that difference looks like and that you can still have success doing it a different way. So I haven't watched any of the broadcasts back or anything, but I've always had people like come up to me and say, man, those announcers loved you. And it's like, well, just play the game the right way and, you know, good things will happen.
Yeah. Well, with hustle. Smile on your face, do whatever it takes.
Exactly. Someone's got to do the dirty work, and there's a beauty in doing that dirty work and doing the same thing every single game. You know, you might not get the credit for the rebound, but you took your man away from it, and who cares? Your guy didn't get the ball. You're going to the other end of the floor with a stop.
Well, and it's not always being the biggest, strongest, and fastest. Sometimes it's just being the smartest.
Yeah, exactly. Being in the right spot eliminates the need to being athletic and being the strongest, like you said, you know. You're in the right position and help defense. You can help a defender that got blown by, stop the ball, and still get out to a shooter. It's all about your positioning, and most of it is a mental aspect of the game and knowing what you can and can't do. You know, you look at all these guys that can only play 30, 32 minutes a game because they're winded. Well, if you're in the right spot on defense, you tend to move a lot less. So, you know, I learned that one at an early age that if you do things right and you're in the right spot, that your workload goes down a bunch and it allows you to play more.
Yeah. Well, and you learn hard lessons here too, because, you know, and especially down this stretch run here in the season, injuries sometimes can, you know, things that are out of your control can really affect your future. And you experienced that at Creighton.
Yeah. We had 4 guys go down to season ending injuries. and not at very good times either. It wasn't at times where you can regroup, have a couple days off of games where you can figure out how you're going to play without a point guard, how you're going to play without your 7-foot big man that your defense is kind of designed around. You got to fix it on the fly, and we were able to do that for the most part. And for us to be able to lose not one but 2 point guards to season-ending injuries, and then move a freshman 2-guard into the primary ball handler position, and start bringing a point guard off the bench who tore his ACL last year and has no experience in America, let alone at the Division II level of playing or the Division I level of playing basketball. Like, the 6 people that we had healthy at the end of the year says a lot about our resilience and our effort on the defensive end to be able to stay in games.
There were some other athletes too, student athletes that played Division II last year that moved over into the Division I level through the transfer portal, more than just you. Did you keep up with how some of those were doing elsewhere? Some of the guys that you ran into in the postseason?
Yeah, a little bit. Unfortunately, one of the guys I played against tore his ACL in the summer working out, which, you know, you never want to hear about that. But it'll be interesting to see how their games translate to the Division I level. I'm worried that the transfer portal is going to kind of change that and have a negative impact on the game in that aspect, because they're going to have one successful season and think, oh, I got to go D1. No, like, stay where you're appreciated, stay where you're valued. And, you know, if I wouldn't have had a COVID year, I would have never left Northwest and never had this experience. And I would have been very happy leaving my college career. Thankfully, I did get a COVID year of eligibility, and I chose to go have an experience somewhere else. And going somewhere for an experience turned into a great opportunity for me basketball-wise, too, that I wasn't really expecting to have.
I suspect that if you showed up in Maryville on campus someday here, not too far down the road, somebody's buying you dinner, right?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind.
They appreciate what you did down there, too. And you did a lot, that's for sure. So, yeah, I don't think there were no hard feelings you deciding to do something else your senior year.
No, and that's the biggest thing, too, is I'd home games at Creighton, there'd be 10, 15, 20 people in the stands wearing Bearcat green, just proud as could be, there supporting and cheering. It's kind of crazy because at our first home game, Coach McDermott came up to me. He goes, "You have to tell those Bearcat fans to get some blue Creighton gear." I said, "Coach, I don't think that'll happen. I think they'll still show up and they'll be wearing green every game." And there was always people there wearing green. So it was a pretty cool experience just to be able to have that continued support when I'm no longer there.
Yeah, so as long as they're cheering for the right things for the right team.
Yeah, exactly.
No worries. So, you know, sadly now it seems like, and they kind of joked about it now to get on those broadcasts too, that, you know, Ryan's been in college now forever and he's got several degrees and, you know, but at some point it all comes to an end, and it has now for you in the college level. So what happens now? I mean, has it hit you now that things are done there and you're moving into the next chapter?
Yeah, it's hit me, and it wasn't, like, obviously I was emotional, like, it sucks, you lose a game.
Of course.
And, you know, a game that you've put a lot of time and effort into is no longer there for you. So that's a little different, and I'm hopeful I don't have to use my degrees for a while, but I made some joke about needing to learn how to use LinkedIn so I can find a job, and I've been flooded with offers and opportunities in the professional world, and it's like I don't want to get a 9-to-5 job yet, so I'm going to try and avoid that path.
Well, you're healthy. I mean, you always get banged up a little bit, and I know you worked through some things this year physically to be able to play at the level that you did, but, you know, you still got a healthy body. You're still young enough. You still got an opportunity. You want to take advantage of that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of crazy to reflect. I played 203 college games. Didn't miss a single one for an injury, which is very, very unheard of. And I'm fortunate for that. So body feels good. I still love the game. I still get nervous before games. So I think it means I still love the game.
Yeah, and a lot of people, especially around here, have wondered, well, what's next for Ryan? Will he coach? Will he play? I guess the answer on both of those is perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not ready to coach yet. I still feel like I got a lot of love for the game playing it, and gonna give it a shot this summer. Gonna try and stay in shape. Gonna go to a couple workouts for some different teams and around the league, and just see what happens. All I gotta do is have one team be willing to take a chance. It's not like I need interest from 30 different teams. It takes one.
Well, and that's the thing. You can find a lot of examples throughout the take the NBA for example. A lot of examples where there are different ways to get there. It's not always through the being, you know, the overall first round draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting to be on people's draft boards for this summer, but I think I'll have a very, very, very good chance of getting to the NBA Summer League, getting a contract with the team, and going from there. You know, have one, two good games where I shoot the ball really well in Vegas this summer, and, you know, teams offering you a two-way contract deal or an NBA roster spot. All it takes is one. You don't have to be drafted to get there. You just got to get there.
Well, I think that's one of the nice things, too, about being able to do what you've done, not just through Northwest, but also at Creighton, is it, because in the business world, a lot of it's networking. And in sports world, it's also the same. It's a lot of networking. So your future now, in some respects, might kind of be dictated by some of the friendships and the partnerships and those relationships that you've crafted over this time.
Yeah, and that's one of the beauties of Coach McDermott at Creighton. Obviously, you know, his son Doug's a very, very respected name around the league, and he played in Coach McDermott's system at Creighton. And so McDermott has a lot of connections for me, and he's been very graceful in using those with me. But I think the biggest blessing in disguise was I was thinking about Creighton because it was close to home and had a lot of playing time opportunities. And, you know, I went there looking for a challenge for myself personally and basketball-wise, and I found a program that allowed me to excel in my leadership role and found a coach that has a lot of connections that I wasn't really thinking about for after basketball that is coming to be a very big help for me.
Coming just a few years ago from Atlantic High School and being able to accomplish what you have, is it still just a little strange to see people wearing your jersey, to see people holding up signs with your face on it and to see people talking about seeing you on a billboard, all these kinds of things?
Yeah, it's a lot different. If you would have told me that senior year of high school this would have happened, I would have laughed and said there's no way. But it is still really cool. Like when I go up and work out at the high school in the summers, that, you know, it's the same gym. It hasn't changed. It kind of brings back that home feeling and almost takes you back to when times were a little simpler and all you had to worry about was what sets Coach Jenkins was going to draw up for you that night and executing them. But as far as basketball has gone, it has completely changed since then, and it's changed my life since then, too.
Absolutely. Well, it's changed a lot of lives, too. You get a chance to maybe do pickup games and things just here and there when you're back in the area. Do you feel like you should start to give back a little bit then, too, because a lot has happened positively for you, that maybe you should show these guys a few things that maybe they wouldn't know otherwise to kind of help them along? Are you kind of coaching already?
Oh, yeah. I felt like that this year especially. We had six freshmen and four sophomores on our roster. So of 10 of our 15 roster spots, they were all freshmen or sophomores.
Still wearing diapers.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you know, I had won my first national championship when most of those kids were in eighth grade still. So it's kind of trying to show that, like share some of that wisdom and experience with them that you only get through playing and doing it. And so you can kind of expedite that learning process for them when you can share it from a player's perspective and not from a coach, because I feel like a lot of that is better received from a player, not a coach. And so it's just little tidbits of advice, and, you know, you just change this, you do this just a little differently, and it helps you so much more, and it's easier coming from a player than a coach sometimes.
Well, now that the college game has become more like a business with the name, image, and likeness legislation and the opportunity to make some money and things here, you know, you wonder how much change it'll make overall. But, you know, still at the end of the day, although there's a certain business aspect to it and there are responsibilities that go along with it, it's nice to see that you were able to have some good experiences at a place like Northwest Missouri State and then a place like Creighton, where they still value what you value, and that's family and friends.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I understand people thinking that, you know, you need to be able to make some money off yourself in college, which to an extent I agree with. But I think there's going to be a really negative side of it. And I feel like the loyalty to colleges is going to be gone. People are going to look at it more as a business opportunity than, you know, the value that your four-year degree is going to get you. You know, Creighton's a very well-respected university academically, and getting a master's degree from there will help me once the ball stops bouncing. And for that, that's worth more for me than any NIL deal I'll ever take, because of the fact that 15 years from now, when I've got to find a real job and use what I've learned, you know, that degree from Creighton is going to help me get a job and help me get a better job than I would otherwise have.
You bet. Well, and you'll have positive memories because of those relationships and the family atmosphere that you chose to be a part of, too. So there's always that to feel good about when you move on, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Excellent. Well, Ryan, thanks so much. It was fun. I didn't get to see you play it live too often over in Omaha. I got to a couple of games, but I know a lot of folks did, and I know I watched every one of your games on TV because they all were, and even if I wasn't available, we were recording them to watch them after the fact. But it was a lot of fun, and I know a lot of folks followed you here in the local area and appreciate not just your play, but the way you carried yourself, too, and represented Atlantic Iowa. A lot of people were excited to hear you announced at Madison Square Garden as being from Atlantic Iowa.
Yeah, you know, I think I might be the first person from Atlantic to play in Madison Square Garden. I'm not quite sure on that one, but no, it's cool. It kind of came full circle, and I'm starting to realize just how lucky and how special this season was.
You bet. Well, thanks for stopping by. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.